IFM 101.9 megahertz of life. So our next insert is way, way, way above my pay grade. I have been reading lately regarding the water issue on Mars and the lakes that have been discovered and the fact that as far back as 2015, they realized there was no solid water and there's all these other bodies of water and vapor. But my guest today, David Gear, is a polymath education consultant specializing in progressive education environment. And he's chatting to us about whether Earth's water came from interstite Grondite-like asteroids. Like I said, way above my pay grade. David, please help me.
Good morning, and good morning. Good morning to your listeners. The article that triggered this conversation is called "Earth's Water Came from Interstite Grondite-like Asteroids." Now, the important thing about that headline, let's sort of unpack it. There are basically two kinds of meteorites that hit the ground that we can collect and study. And they are chondrites, which are rocky, and there are metal meteorites. And they are evidence for the ancient building blocks of Earth. And what the article is saying is that they've found water in these particular kinds of chondrites, interstite chondrites. Chondrites and rocky meteorites make up about, I think it's something like 95% of all meteorites. And then the interstite ones, which is a small fraction of that. And so what is significant about this article is it's saying that they found water in these things. And that's important because they are evidence from, imagine going to a building site and you can't see the house, but lying outside on the pavement are all the sort of scrap leftover bits and pieces that went into building that house. So you might find some clay bricks that were used to build the walls. You might find some face bricks, you might find some roof tiles and so on. And from that you would be able to get a good idea of what made up the house. You may not know what the house looks like, but you get an idea. So that's a bit what meteorites are like. They provide us evidence of the period when the Earth was forming. And one of the big questions has always been, where did the water come from? And the initial thoughts, well, there have been numerous thoughts, but the two most important things were that water was just incorporated into the Earth as it formed, and it formed from gases from the sun. And so as the sun spins, it throws out a layer called a protodisk. As the star spins, it forms a protodisk of gases and various compounds and elements that spread out, and then the planets condense from those. So in the case of our solar system, the planets, the inner planets are rocky, and the outer planets that from Jupiter outward are gaseous. So Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars are rocky planets, and then there's a asteroid belt which is made up of chunks of rock that came from planets that didn't manage to form, or just left over bits that weren't enough to form a planet. So some of these things get disturbed in their orbit, and they come along and hit Earth, and so we can study them. So this allows us then to say what was in that protodisk, and we look at it, and initially they thought that almost all of these things were dry. They had no water in it, so the water must come from somewhere else. And that somewhere else, the obvious one seemed to be from comets, which are pretty much frozen balls of carbon dioxide and water, along with some rocky material in them as well. That was the sort of leading theory as to where the Earth's water came from. But so this article is suggesting now that there is enough hydrogen which of the water being H2O, there's enough hydrogen in these pentatite chondrites that would have enabled water to form at the same time that Earth was forming. So in other words, incorporated into the material that built up Earth was enough water. Now, how does that water then get out onto the surface to form our ocean? And the answer to that is volcanoes. So volcanoes produce a whole lot of gases. They don't just produce molten rock, and a lot of carbon dioxide, sulfur, various sulfur gases, methane, as well as water in the form of steam. So this article is suggesting then that perhaps the majority of the Earth's water came not from comets, but from the building blocks, the original building blocks of Earth. It's not suggesting that it was meteorites that brought the water to the Earth. Meteorites are pretty rare things, in fact, although there are lots of them. Chunks big enough to study are rare. There's no ways that any meteorites hitting Earth would have brought enough water with them, especially as water in meteorites is quite rare. And people misrepresent the Earth. They say it's 70% water. No, it isn't. The surface of the Earth is covered by 70% of the surface of the Earth is covered by water. But if you turn the Earth into a soccer ball and then you wiped it with a wet cloth, that would be about how much water there is on Earth. It's not a lot.
Your analogies are brilliant. I think people don't realize just what a important commodity water is until you give an analogy like the soccer ball, and we forget that, you know, we've got an Earth that is round, it's solid, and the majority of it is not water. So that is, we also talk about, I think that the confusion comes in. People say also that the human body is 70% water, which I suppose it may be. But what made a lot of sense to me was where you gave us the analogy of the building blocks, saying how there may be a fence up, you don't know what's behind it, but there's evidence of a house that's been built because you see the clay brick, you see the building tiles, you see the building materials. And the question I was going to ask you, you answered, and that was, would it have been possible for these asteroids or meteorites to have brought all the water to Earth? And obviously not. You spoke about the hydrogen, you spoke about the steam, you spoke about the volcanoes, which is what filled our oceans. Are we in a situation now where we are completely self-sustained, obviously in respect of our water, and our water is very important to us? But are we in a position to say that water does in fact contribute towards life? And if we're talking about water on Earth being so important, would water on Mars be equally important, and could it contribute towards the potential of there being life on a planet such as Mars?
Yes. Life as we know it, and pretty much life as we know it, you know, the physics and chemistry behind that, you've got to have some kind of liquid that behaves like water, and you've got to have an abundance of carbon, which has particular characteristics that enable organic molecules that are the building blocks of life to develop. So if you haven't got those three things, the chances of life forming are almost zero, I would imagine, unless there's a whole lot of chemistry we don't understand. It is possible, sort of theoretically, that there could be silicon-based life forms, but they would require much higher temperatures, and whether you could create that chemical complexity is doubtful. But water is essential for life as we know it. Now, otherwise, nothing would work. You know, you've got to have a liquid to be able to act as a transporting medium for all the chemistry that makes up life. So, but when we look at water, well, let's look at Earth first. The vast mass of our water, vast volume of our water is salty. And so water shortages are human-created things, because we need, as humans on land and mammals, and, well, all the land-based animals require fresh water. And our water problems are about freshwater management. They're not about the volume of water, the amount of if we manage all our freshwater properly and recycled it and cleaned it and there was no corruption in water supply management and that kind of thing, it was all done efficiently to the best of technology, there wouldn't be a problem. But it's because of polluting rivers, I mean, if you look at the Vaal River or most of our rivers, in fact, the Olifant River in particular is terribly badly polluted, making that water less palatable or accessible.
Sure.
And so that's a water management issue, but there is enough water, although climate change, of course, is going to change the distribution of where that water is. So places like California are facing chronic water shortages, and perhaps the Western Cape is facing ongoing chronic water shortages because of climate change.
So climate change is a reality, and people need to acknowledge the fact, and it's not necessarily like everybody's referring to as global heating. David, I want to thank you for getting our brains really exercised this morning for a interview just before 7:30. When people are just getting started on their first or second cup of coffee, you really, really stimulated the senses, and for that I thank you.
Great pleasure.
David Gere is a polymath education consultant specializing in progressive education environment. He most definitely stimulated the gray matter this morning. I can tell you this. It was by far way, way, way above my pay grade.